Welcome to the B Show.
The B Show.
The B Show.
A wrestling podcast.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to another edition of The B Show, a wrestling podcast. It is Dixon and Fancy J.
Hola.
What's up, dude?
Yo, man. First, I just want to say thank you. We had a crazy week, the both of us, trying to figure out a time to record this show. And now with just being the two of us, we're pretty dedicated to make sure that we get a show out a week. And so we are recording this Sunday afternoon during football, and Dixon has had a hellacious weekend. So first, I just want to say thanks, homie, for making the time on a Sunday to talk a little wrestling.
It's all good, man. We do have to get this done in like 43 minutes.
Yeah, this won't be one of those hour and a half shows. So no. We apologize in advance if we breathe through things, and you can let us know.
I got to get off to a show that I'm producing today. So,
how many shows have you done this week? Three, four?
Four.
Four. And you married a bunch of zombies.
I did marry a bunch of zombies last night.
When you give them a little bit more energy, we can get further into that. But since we only got 43 minutes, a lot of people always ask about the fantasy football. So for the new listeners, again, the bet is if Dixon beats me at the end of the year, his team finishes higher than I do. I have to shave my head into a true mohawk for 1 week, and then I have to bick my head
right see if it that. Grows back.
Let's see if it grows back. See if I can go Chia Pet style. If I beat Dixon, then he has to get a tattoo of my face on his leg. He can choose where he wants to get it, but that's the thing. Right now, we are both 3-2, and only 6 points separate us. Yeah, I didn't like my. I had to pick up. So I know you and I talked earlier in the week. Here's my dilemma. I had Matt Ryan at Seattle. I had Eli Manning. I'm a Giants fan, home against the Ravens. I wasn't confident about either of those. So what I did is...
You didn't silence your phone.
I didn't silence my phone. Sorry about that. So I picked up Blake Bortles.
Why?
I picked up Blake Bortles. He's
What's that matchup?
Chicago.
Ugh.
Chicago. I just don't trust
I'm
Eli.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did that.
It was between him or the Eagles quarterback. And I wasn't feeling too kind. I don't want to. I hate the Eagles with everything, and I don't want to root for him.
It's a bad matchup against the Redskins too.
I mean,
that
exactly.
Redskins D is.
But Matt Ryan, Bortles was ranked higher in every single fantasy ranking than Matt Ryan and Eli Manning. So we'll see.
I would have
gone
with the gut and probably started Matt Ryan if that was my.
Yeah.
Decision.
Well, I have another Falcon. I have Coleman starting against Seattle because they give up a lot of passing yards to the running backs. So I was just like, I can't have two Falcons. But then my dilemma is I have a Seattle defense in another league. So you're screwed either way.
You do realize by matching a quarterback to somebody that catch passes for touchdowns ups your chances of winning in fantasy football, right?
Correct. Like, but if they have a go against a great defense and Seattle's the number one ranked defense right now, then you actually up your chances of having not one goose egg but two goose eggs. I like to spread it out. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I have Blake Bortles again, Chicago. We'll see how we go into it.
You're going to lose, which was going to be great for me.
So
I'm winning today.
As we talk right now, fantasy is happening. Games, I have everything DVR'd at home. I have no idea what my teams are doing, so don't even try to front. But we have our one game showdown, week 9.
Mm-hmm.
So what, 3 weeks away? This is week 6,
yeah.
7, 8, 9. So 3 weeks away could decide tat or bald.
Oh, you're going to be bald.
There you go. I like it. So there's that. Real quick, I know a lot of people are digging this whole 80s movie pick of the week. Dixon, what's your pick?
I'm going to go with a little movie with Mitch Gaylord and the future Mrs. Wayne Gretzky, at the time known as Janet Jones. The movie was called American Anthem. Do you remember American Anthem?
I have never seen that movie.
So basically, it's about a gymnastics team.
I've seen everything in the 80s. I'm writing this down.
And Mitch Gaylord was like a dude that like stopped doing it because like his dad didn't support him and he just wanted his dad to support him. And it follows like this entire like gymnastics team with like this weird like Russian coach and like
really?
There's the dude that played Rocky Dennis is in it and he makes like weird synth music for this girl he has a crush on to do like her floor routine to. And then Mitch Gaylord, like, have you ever seen Hot Rod with Andy Samberg? And you know how like he's out in the woods like doing like the punch dancing and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that was specifically mocking American Anthem.
I always thought that was mocking like a Footloose style, where like
no,
he does
because
his dance.
There's a scene in American Anthem where Jeff Gaylord takes his like sweet pickup truck that has like the lights on the roof out into the woods, and he's got like this big bar that he does like the flippy shit on, and it's great. It's a great movie. It's campy. It's cheesy. If you're a gymnastics fan, it's probably good for you. And I'll tell you right now, I know why Wayne Gretzky married Janet Jones, and it's.
I didn't even realize she was. I mean, I knew she was an actress, but I didn't realize like she was,
athletic as well. Yeah,
yeah.
She has an elite ass in this, like total gymnastics ass.
Here's a question because it's not crazy because they're both legal. Who's? All right, go on first.
The soundtrack is 100%
really
like 80s rific.
I am so 80s. How do I not know this? Maybe if I saw it, like I would remember seeing it, but I don't remember the title, American Anthem.
Dude, I
have to check it out, man.
I remember seeing it. It was on like HBO when I was a teenager, like every other month.
All right, who's hotter? Wayne Gretzky's wife then, or Wayne Gretzky's daughter now?
I don't know what Wayne Gretzky's daughter now looks like.
Dude, it's like unbelievable. Just follow her Instagram and you will see things that you just.
Is it Wayne Gretzky's daughter.com or something?
No, what's it? Paulina Gretzky, I think her name is.
I'll check it out.
She's been dating a bunch of like famous athletes and.
So she's a slur.
Like, what's that?
Is she a slur?
I will not say anything negative about a female.
Do you know what a slur is?
I'm assuming it's negative.
Half slut, half whore. Slur.
Oh, no. I do not know. I've never met her in person. Well, what I will say is she's very beautiful. My pick of the week is a little bit more well-known, but again, I don't know if a lot of people have seen it, is The Lost Boys.
Yeah, great movie.
Oh, dude. I hate horror. It scares the crap out of me. I'm a big puss when it comes to that stuff. Like, literally cannot watch any horror. But this movie, man, Joel Schumacher directed it. It's got Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, Jason Patrick as the older brother, Kiefer Sutherland. He's not in it.
I know. I'm thinking of Young Guns.
Young Guns. And it's
you start rattling
about,
those names off. Bro.
I know,
I'm
right?
Going right to Young Guns.
That's future weeks from now of my pick. It's about basically two brothers with their single mom move to a California beach town. And the older brother, Jason Patrick, kind of joins like this biker gang. And they have some secrets. And they're realizing their brother Corey Haim's realizing his brother is totally acting differently. And Corey Feldman and another kid are these, in quotes, vampire hunters. And so Corey Haim teams up with these guys because they have been a lot of mysterious deaths and disappearances in this town. And then the rest happens. It's a really good movie. It holds up. You know, like a lot of that 80s type of thriller or horror, even action, kind of when you rewatch it nowadays, it has a cheesy factor to it. Like this, like the soundtrack. We're talking about soundtracks for your American Anthem. Like that, this soundtrack.
Cry Little Sister, man.
Oh, gosh. It's one of my all time favorite songs from a movie right there. So, Lost Boys, American Anthem. And I believe you can get Lost Boys. You can stream it on Netflix. I don't know about American Anthem, but I'll check it out. I'll tweet it out where you can see it.
Yeah. I know I have a VHS copy somewhere.
All right, VHS, there you go. Your beach side, choice cut of the week, outside of wrestling, what are you recommending to
our
listeners?
I went first on this one this week. It's up to you.
I'm going simple, and actually I can segue this to you because you probably know more. Right now, my favorite band in the world is Mumford & Sons. My second favorite band for months now, who I've asked Dixon to try to book to do a show so I could, and I'd come into town to see it, is the Strumbellas. Well, just Strumbellas. And their new album, Hope. It is so freaking good, man.
I just booked the Strumbellas.
And you have no idea how excited I am.
For a $5 show.
For a $5 show. I mean, this is a
Sound
Canadian
like hot
band.
Cakes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness I can just get on the list and I don't have to worry about it. But Strumbellas, you can Spotify the album. I'm just telling you, if you like, and Dixon, well, actually, you know what? I'm going to hand it off to you. It's very Mumford & Son, Lumineers-esque.
There's
as far
that
as
element to it, but at the root of it, it's kind of technically alt-country or AAA. Like, if you're into bands like the Jayhawks or like the solo stuff from guys like Jay Farrar. Maybe you like the other Canadian stuff that's coming out right around the same time, like Coleman Hell. It'll be in your wheelhouse. They're a great band, six pieces, all kinds of odd instrumentation, but at the root of it, it's just it's fun, upbeat party music.
It's so good. It's so good. I mean, it's like it's very rare nowadays where you can listen to an album and literally every song on that album is good. You're like, oh yeah, I love this song. Oh yeah, I want to hear this song. So
I hope Strumbellas, they didn't pick up on the mic.
Yeah, if it did, that just shows us how
slamming
natural we
Pepsi's
are.
Got to get that caffeine in.
Gotta
me.
Get a, gotta get a little boost. He was out late last night. By the way, you looked great as a zombie. I saw a couple
I wasn't
pictures.
A zombie, bro. I was the sinister minister.
The sinister minister. Well, you look good.
I was
at
crying
it.
Blood. Had who, a bunch of upside your, down
like,
crosses.
Did you have the makeup done professionally? Like through
her name's Sonia, and I don't remember the company that she worked for, but our buddy Luke brought her into the fold. And
nice. That was dope, man.
I definitely chased some kids through the mall for a little bit.
Did
last
you really?
Night. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. You need to Facebook Live that S.
No.
When you do that.
Because I don't want to go to jail.
Well, you're not a clown right now.
That's true.
So, you know what?
I definitely made a lot of people uncomfortable. Let's just say that there were a lot of upside down crosses, and I was crying black tears, and it was pretty dope.
Yeah, it was. You looked phenomenal.
In a weird way, about halfway through the night, I just gave up on the outfit because I couldn't get into my pockets and all this other stuff. Oh. So I transformed from the sinister minister into the lead singer of Turbo Negro.
So what this event is, a lot of people, probably majority of our listeners won't know, is that the radio station that Dixon works for had this huge event. They do
the
an annual
zombie wedding.
Yeah, they do an annual zombie-esque. In past years, it was like a zombie bar crawl, and people would get professionally makeup artists come in and would do their face or however they want to be zombified.
Yeah, do your face.
Yeah, do your face all over. So then this year, they came up with an idea, and Dixon, correct me if I'm wrong, where it's like a zombie wedding.
It
so
was.
Dixon,
it was called the zombie wedding.
I'm
an ordained reverend.
Reverend.
Church of Spiritual Humanity.
There you go. Literally married how many couples? Five?
Four.
Seven? Four.
Four
couples.
Bringing my total in life to 23. I've married 23 couples now.
All dressed up as zombies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not all 23, just the four last night.
No. Yeah, the four last night.
The previous 23 were a variety of weird stuff.
So here he is dressed up as the sinister minister.
Sinister ministers.
And you have these other people that, for whatever reasons, they wrote heartfelt stories of why they wanted to renew their vows and get married this way.
They're just zombie fans, bro.
They're zombie fans. And it was at this big event, dude. It was right. I didn't. Obviously, I wasn't there, but I mean, I from social media, it seemed like it was pretty badass. So
it was dope.
That's awesome. So not only does he do a podcast, not only does he have his own radio show, not only does he co-run a wrestling organization, not only does he book, manage, / consult many many bands, he also is an ordained minister.
And I manage a nightclub.
And he does, oh yeah, the biggest one. And he manages the nightclub, hence where all these awesome acts come
from. And I also study jujitsu and judo.
There you go. See, and that's how he can kick all your asses. So go into your B-side. What's your choice cut for the week?
UltimateSurrender.com. Are you familiar?
I've never heard of it.
It's
Gosh,
awesome.
I love this episode.
So UltimateSurrender.com, essentially it's porn, but it's the best kind of porn ever. So essentially what they do is they get two slores. We defined that earlier for you.
We only have been 3 weeks into this, and you've already taken it there. What was the site again? I'm going to write
UltimateSurrender.com. So basically, you take two slores, and then they make them like high school wrestle, like amateur wrestle each other, and it's legit. And then the winner gets to pound out the loser with this giant purple strap-on dildo.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
UltimateSurrender.com.
Stop laughing. Oh, Jesus Christ. So you there's a website where two women wrestle, like legitimately wrestle, and whoever beats the other one and pins her for 3 seconds then gets to put a strap on and do her.
Oh yeah. And the best part is the girl that wins typically goes at the girl that loses the same way I go at all girls.
I'm tearing up.
It's super aggressive.
Oh,
it's
man,
like,
now you just ruined it. Now when I watch it, I'm going to be thinking about that's how you go at it.
Yeah, but I'm prettier than most of these slurs.
Really? So they're not even attractive
women? No, they're hot, dude. Like, they start in bikinis with, like, two armbands on, and then, like, as the rounds go on, like, there's less clothes, and...
Wait, what do you call these women? Slurs?
Slurs.
How do you spell
them? S-L-O-R-E-S. Half slut, half whore.
S-L-O-R-E-S.
It's not that hard, bro. Five letters.
I'm just making sure when I tweet this out that I have the proper spelling of it.
UltimateSurrender.com.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I know what I'm doing tonight. There's no pay-per-view tonight on Sunday, so I'll do that.
Oh, dude, and they've been around for years, so there's like a whole backlog. And truthfully,
I'm freaking tearing up, man.
Unless UltimateSurrender.com wants to give us some money to sponsor the show, I'm just going to send you to like YouPorn or something. Pornhub, whatever.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of them on there. And it's
wait,
great.
So all that you can find on Pornhub too?
Yeah. Just type in Ultimate Surrender.
And then it'll pop up.
Yeah, a bunch of them. And the best part is when you get them on like the porn tube sites,
yeah.
They just skip over like the interviews and a lot of the wrestling and you just get Pound Town.
No, we actually have a lot of women, female listeners. Is there anything for like a male, female wrestling? Like a wrestler match, and then whoever wins, let's hopefully it's the man, but is there anything like that, or is it always just chick on chick?
No, it's chick on chick.
All right, there you go. So if you're in...
if you're into aggressive lesbian strap-on porn that also has a wrestling edge, UltimateSurrender.com.
It's like 95% of our listening audience, I'm sure, probably likes it.
I'm sure most of them are aware of it.
That is the greatest. I come in with like this country alt Canadian band. Oh, check it out. You can listen to it with your girl. It's an amazing concert. And you come in with strap-on wrestling porn. All right. Oh, God, I'm literally freaking tearing up. All right. So that was our B's. So what we're going to do a little differently is, A, it's Sunday. So all you effers already saw the Raw, SmackDown, TNA, ROH, blah, 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 blah. We're just going to jump right into the BS news. No.
We forgot something.
Oh, yeah. What did we forget?
The top 20, dude.
No. That's after. Oh, you want to do that first? Oh,
we might as well, because you're just going to rattle on forever.
How dare you? Top 20.
We're at number 17. No, I went first last week, so you get to go first.
We're at 18 right now. Right?
No, this is the fourth week, bro. Yes.
17. Because we have a shorter limit of time, he is. I've only been able to watch his work for the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, and a lot of it is stuff from the past because I wasn't watching whatever wrestling organization he was in at the time. But he is slowly climbing up the list, and if he continues to do what he's been doing, I could easily see him top 10 or 5. I love him so much. He was my number one draft pick when we back in April. Kevin Owens. Anybody who's listening to this pretty much knows who Kevin Owens is. He can do it all.
The former Kevin Steen.
Kevin Steen, yeah. He literally can do it all. He can do comedy. He can be a pussy champion. He can be a badass bruiser champion. He is probably the best on the mic in the entire company right now, if not top two or three.
Mm.
You give him something and he can take it, and the audience, at least for me and a lot of people I know, you can't turn your eyes away from him. There's so many times where wrestlers, where they're on the mic and you're just like, all right, yeah, whatever, just get to the match, or this is the same old BS. I always want to watch what he has to say because he does it so differently week in and week out. He's not the same, you know, robot. I think that was one of my biggest issues with Cena all the time, is because it was the same crap, the same tone, the same monotone, the same delivery.
Five moves of doom.
Yeah. So, you know, and not only that, but he puts on phenomenal matches in the ring. He can go with the big bruisers. Like, I would love to see him versus Samoa Joe or Brock Lesnar down the road. But he also can go with the high flyers and the Sami Zayns and
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and the Rollins. I mean, he is just, he's there. So I know it's not somebody who's been in my wrestling time as a viewer that long, but he's 17 now, but I could easily see him top 5, 10, you know, 10 years from
now.
He's
better than The Rock.
Who's your number 17?
My number 17
I only
is
have 43 minutes.
A gentleman that owns a barbecue and Chinese restaurant. in Georgia. He has been sued for evidently spreading hepatitis C through the wrestling industry.
Holy crap.
And
Wait, let me guess. Let me guess who this guy is. What did he what organization did he wrestle in? Hepatitis C, I think I might have it.
He didn't really. I mean, he was in WCW a few times. He used to work for Jim Crockett. He is probably best known for his time either in Texas or in Puerto Rico for the World Wrestling Council.
He never wrestled with E or WCW like early 90s?
Oh, he was in WCW early 90s. Never really made too much of a splash in WWE, although he did, I think, work a few off-time, like sort of the way Andre was booked back in the 70s.
Oh, so you know, he's a big guy.
He is a very big guy.
And he had hepatitis C and he spread it?
More recently, towards the end of his wrestling career.
I have no idea. Who is this?
We're going to go with a gentleman who was the opposite to Mr. Bruiser Brody. We're talking Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, actually, I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that. I mean, well, not only the hepatitis C, but I mean, there's some other stuff in there. Didn't he kill a guy?
No.
Wasn't he part of that shower stabbing down in Puerto Rico?
No, that was Invader number two.
No, who was the wrestler that died down in Puerto Rico?
Bruiser Brody.
Yeah, he wasn't part of that?
Mm-mm.
No, I always thought he was.
No, the two of them had a legendary feud that always seemed to culminate in these very violent matches that happened in WWC, World Wrestling Council, owned by, oh, you don't know, Carlos Colon, father of Carlito.
Carlito.
Primo Epico.
What was his thing with the apples?
Carlito?
Yeah, what was his? I came to.
No, he would just spit an apple at you.
No, but what was his saying? Cool. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
His opening music. I like Carlito a lot, man. There's been a lot of rumors about him coming back.
We'll see.
That'd be dope. Isn't his brothers in wrestling, too?
They're the Shining Stars.
Yeah. Oh, that's his actual brothers?
Yes.
Oh, see? Look at that. I learned something new. I knew they were related. I didn't know it was, like, biological brothers.
So back to Abdullah the Butcher, who owns Abdullah the Butcher's ribs and Chinese food.
That sounds so good right now.
It's not good.
It's not? You've been down there?
Yeah.
In Atlanta?
A bunch of us. It's outside of Atlanta, but yeah. It's
Is it like mass-produced ribs and Chinese food? It's not like the authentic?
The Chinese food is gross, I'll be honest. And the barbecue is mediocre at best.
How long has he had the restaurants open?
It's only one, and it's been the better part of the last 15 years.
Oh, so, obviously it's successful in order for him to have it open that long.
A lot of people go there because the wrestling marks, and there's wrestling stuff all over the place.
I also can't think Atlanta has really good Chinese, or the outskirts of Atlanta. Atlanta's an awesome city, but the outskirts have really, like, authentic, awesome Chinese food. I mean, maybe I'm completely wrong on that because I've never experienced it, but...
Let's just state for the fact, it is meant for people that are not us.
I want you to elaborate on that.
Let me tell you something, brother. I'll tell you who this restaurant's for.
It starts with W and ends in trash?
No. Starts with an A and ends with a frickin' Americans. Yeah. I'm not being racist here. I'm not being racist here in any way, shape, or form, but there is a certain style of Chinese food that African Americans prefer over real Chinese food, and it tends to be the Americanized version of Chinese food. The deep fried stuff that's soaked in a heavy sauce, and that's what you can get.
But you say that about black people, but I mean I can easily point out as many white people that like that deep fried, everything has to be fried. It's not, doesn't feel like it's the authentic
Chinese
food.
Yeah. Totally agree. But when you're in the South.
But you said it best. It's the Americanized version of Chinese. It's like Panda Express style stuff.
No, worse than that. Like mall Chinese. Where they give you the little bite on a toothpick
while you walk by.
Yeah. Anyway, so Abdullah the Butcher to me was a phenomenon. This is a dude that was well over 400 pounds for the majority of his career. Wore his red pants right up under his titties. had the Iron Sheik curved boots. Punch kick. Not a lot of mobility, but I'll tell you. Genuinely believe that this dude was going to hurt whoever he was in the ring with. A million different styles of foreign objects. He's a dude that would bring forks into the ring and bludgeon people with them.
Now, he wrestled in a time where wrestling, you know, wasn't considered real, but you know, you still
believed fourth wall hadn't been broken
exactly.
down yet. We're talking late 70s through mid 80s, and
he was a legit badass. When you saw him, you were just like, oh, yeah, like this guy was gonna kill anybody else.
And then when he got into WCW, like early to mid 90s, there was that giant Halloween Havoc match. It was the same card that Rick Rude wrestled as the Halloween Phantom on, but the opening match was like a War Games kind of thing with an electric chair in the middle of the ring, and the Steiners were a part of it.
Oh, I remember the electric chair.
Doom was
part
of it.
They electrocuted him.
And Abdullah the Butcher got put in the chair. Like Cactus Jack, Mick Foley was in the match. It was one of the worst abominations in the history of professional wrestling. But
and it's
was,
also considered one of those ones where everybody remembers it or knows of it because it's so bad.
Well, do you remember when the cage caught on fire? The Transformer?
Yeah.
Like the switch for the electric chair fell during the match and nothing happened with the chair except the switch caught
that's
on fire?
That's the biggest thing. It was like they hit the switch falls, and nothing happens. And then somebody, like one of the wrestlers, whoever it was, goes and tries to fix
Cactus
it.
Cactus Jack.
Okay, he goes to fix it, and then all of a sudden he starts getting electrocuted, and people right there like lost it. They're just like, all right, this is a bunch of BS.
Yeah, and then there was I don't remember what it was, but there was I want to say it was like a Clash of the Champions, and there was a Cactus Jack Abdullah the Butcher match that ended up like going out into the it was Road Wild, because it was the same one that Gold
Road
Dust.
Wild?
It was one of the WCW pay-per-views, and the opening match was Dustin Rhodes, who ended up being Goldust versus the Blacktop Bully, who was Barry Darso. No, it was not Barry Darso. It was one of those guys that had a million gimmicks, but they fought on the back of an 18-wheeler, and then later on the card, they were in like some fairground setting where Missy Hyatt was out interviewing wrestlers, and Abdullah the Butcher and Cactus Jack dumped her into a horse trough full of cold water in the middle of October. It was dope. Yeah, it was great. So Abdullah the Butcher, for me, one of those old school, bust him up, foreign object, one of the best heels in the history of wrestling. Terrible restaurateur, but a fantastic addition to my list at number 17.
I have a question for you, and he's easily, since I have gotten back into the history of wrestling and started going back and hanging out with you, but also listening to you know, other shows and watching stuff on the network, his name comes up as much as Andre the Giant in the sense of like this big dude. It didn't matter what wrestling promotion he was in. Everybody remembers Abdullah the Butcher and how his physique, his mindset, his angriness, and how what he was doing to his opponent in the ring was so believable at the time. And
he would carve you up.
So I segue this is kind of a more of a personal question. You and I have talked many, many times on this show about the lack of heavy set, heavyweight heel wrestler opponents that are out there in the wrestling world overall. And you used to be extremely heavy set, where listeners literally, maybe not this week, but in the weeks to come, want to know how you lost your weight and give them a plan. I've had multiple tweets about it.
Put down the pizza, get off the couch.
And stop drinking, literally. Yeah. Stop drinking. But do you like these bigger wrestlers because you could identify them?
No,
what makes you like these big, heavyset guys that aren't the high flyers or aren't the
Mr. Hollywood, you should know this.
No, I'm asking you.
As Mr. Hollywood, you should know this. Your John Cena's, your Hulk Hogan's, your Shawn Michaels are these heroes. They are good-looking, physically fit dudes.
Yeah.
And who's always the bad guy? These ugly, bigger, mongoloid types that just come in and assert their size.
Yeah.
And wait, think back to the Hulk Hogan era of WWE, and it was a consistent train of one-man gang, Earthquake, Typhoon, King Kong Bundy, you know, like Big John Studd, like who wasn't necessarily a fat guy, but he was a bigger dude.
He was
dude.
A big guy.
You know, and it just makes sense. Still, man, like, you know what I mean?
He beat him.
Look at the Wild Samoans, Afa and Sika back in the day. Look at Gorilla Monsoon going back even further than that. And it just, to me, makes sense that as long as you're athletic and you can take the bumps and you have believable offense, that a body type doesn't necessarily matter, because we've already proven through the annals of wrestling history that that's an aesthetic that works.
My question isn't that. I agree with you 100%, and the industry is desperately missing that. My question to you is, why are you attracted, or, you know, not physically attracted, but why are you attracted to the A heels, but also B, the style of performers, these wrestlers that were not of the, hey, I'm on steroids of the 80s or the 70s where they're all
jacked up.
Because
it's more believable.
So you thought
these,
that was
these
more
are guys
believable.
That look like they walked out of some bar, or in Abdullah's case, out of the, you know, jungle of Sudan where he was supposedly from, and into a wrestling ring.
So, and maybe I'm getting deep in your psyche. When I was growing up, I've never ever liked John Cena. I've liked certain moments, but I've never been a John Cena mark. I guess I can understand the kids' point of view of it. Now that I have kids, but also. I was a huge Hogan mark, like in the '80s growing up, that was my favorite guy of all time. So, I was always into the guys that were super jacked. Like, I didn't know about steroids or any of that. I'm like 7, 8, 9 years old. You're not really, you're just like, these guys are, and I thought wrestling was real at the time, you know,
of course
in the mid-80s.
You still do to a certain degree.
No, I think we'll get into that another time. I do not think the wrestling is real. But what I mean is that I believe that who these people, their personas on camera, who they were off camera. Like, I believe that was Rowdy Piper, which in a way it was. I believe that was Macho Man, which it kind of was. I believe that was Hogan, which it kind of wasn't.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah. So to me is like, I've always been interested in why you were attracted to those style of wrestlers. Cause I, when I saw,
cause
all
I was an
that
asshole
list,
when
I
was
hated
a kid.
Those guys.
I was
hated
an asshole
them.
When I was a kid. So all my friends liked Hulk Hogan. So it was easy for me to be like, well, I like King Kong Bundy.
You like the heels. Yeah. You like the bad guys.
I do. I always
did that
have.
Segue into like movies and all that, where you like the bad guys better than like
sometimes
the good
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
No, it's just an interesting.
Why are you trying to break me down psychologically, dude?
I'm not, because I am who you are now. Like, I am right now, I like the heels better than I like the faces. The faces are boring to me. AJ, KO, Rollins. I mean, all of these guys are my favorite wrestlers now, and they're legitimately all heels. Like, Miz. I never thought I'd ever say I like the Miz. What he's doing now is awesome. I guess what I'm saying is, like, you had the mindset of an older person, wrestling fan.
I matured at a very early age.
You must have, because normally a kid, it's like rah-rah.
I
kind
of myself
rah.
From the age of 8.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Your upbringing. But that's what I'm saying. Like, your mindset was, you were much more mature than a fan like me who was like, USA, yeah, Hulk Hogan, big muscles, woo, good guys, always defeat the bad guy type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've always been interested in that on that side. All right. So
let's
that
jump
was
into your weird thing.
My weird thing. Well, let's before we get right into the news, why don't we jump into the Would You Rather segment? You have a question?
No.
I have a question. You told me to hold it off, and I appreciate it because I couldn't think of one this week. And so when I was putting this together, so this is the question. This is a legitimate story. There was a guy in Florida, go figure, Florida, where he was in his 60s, met this girl online. They started dating, and they married, have had relations, and then he realized that it was his biological granddaughter. Because of issues that he did not know, or I mean, he knew he had a daughter, blah, 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 but it's legitimately his biological granddaughter, and they continue to stay married. So that was the story. So here's my question for you. It's a little, it's not like that, but it's something similar. Would you rather have sex with a woman who used to be a man, or have sex with an animal of your choosing? If it was, like, say, a dog, no one would ever know, but the woman, everyone would know. So if you had sex with an animal, no one would ever know about it. But if you had sex with a woman now who used to be a man, everybody would know about it, including yourself when you had those relations. I can get dark, too, son. I can get dark, too.
Let me think about this.
That's
for a
good
minute.
One, right?
Yeah, well, I know that you would go with the tranny. Or the
over an animal?
Yeah,
I don't think I could ever bang an animal.
Like, sure, you could.
No.
What if it was a real attractive orangutan?
If it would, no, they would rip my penis off like they would rip the finger off. I would. You would have to do it to a submissive animal, not an orangutan. They'd be banging me.
Well, maybe
I don't know
jujitsu
like
the
you.
Root of, that's maybe that's the root of your question.
I don't know jujitsu like you. Help! Don't try to turn this on me. This is
well. You're the one that came up with the hey. Would you rather bang like a dude or an animal?
I didn't say a dude. I said a chick that used to be a dude.
It's a dude.
Well, if she has a,
there's no such thing as chicks with dicks, bro. It's always a dude with tits.
Okay, no, I did not say that she had a penis. What happened if she had the surgery and she used to be a guy and she has a vagina now?
Well, I'm very happy for her. I'm going to go with the orangutan. I'm going to put a sundress on her. I'm probably going to shave her down a little bit. Maybe put a fancy J mask on her.
Oh, so you would have, oh, geez, that makes me feel good. So wait, you would have, okay, so you choose animal.
No, I honestly, I'm married, so I wouldn't do
don't
either.
Give me this, you're married, crap. This is a would you rather. There is no, like, in these questions, when you ask me if I want to smoke crack with The Rock and we could be best friends, I am a father and married. I'm not smoking crack with anyone. But in that moment, if you're asking me, which,
dude,
by the way,
dude, you smoked crack
in
my car with me last week after
right.
the podcast, bro.
Yeah, right.
You were like, yo, give me that ice pipe,
son. I've never even smoked a cigarette, and anybody who knows me knows that. Fancy Jay got to stay fancy, baby. You know, I can't crack this face. I got to keep those young eyes. All right. So you choose an orangutan.
Honestly, if we're talking reality, I'm kind of a, like, I don't really have many things that I haven't done in my life. Like, at least to that regard, like, and I'm not anti as much as you would assume based on the way I talk on here. But again, realize it's partially a wrestling podcast, so it's part of a character. Like, I don't really care about, like I was supposed to marry a same-sex couple at the zombie thing.
Oh, you're very
night.
Liberal.
Yeah, I
that's
don't
why
really,
you and I get
really
along. We're
shit,
very
you know
liberal.
What I mean, but yeah, I mean, I would obviously go with the human choice, and as long as she shaved herself up real close and didn't look me right in the eyes, I think we'd be all right.
Yeah, and she didn't. You know, it wasn't like she's like, "Hey, Dixon, how are you?" Well, that's not like that. I mean, it's a woman, but everybody would know that it used to be a chick. It used to be a dude.
I don't care.
All right. Well, that's the
you used to
you
bang
rather.
Dudes, and I hang out with you.
Yeah, how dare you?
Well,
but if
dudes
I did
used to bang you,
if that was the case, then but it's not. That's because I chose that.
Yeah.
Okay. So again,
so you have your
I'm
choices,
going to go
bro.
Off of what Dixon said. This is a wrestling podcast. We both have personas.
Well, yours
that
is
not my persona. Fancy J be like in the VJ, if you know what I'm saying.
The very good penis?
That was good, man. Right off the top of your head as you're blowing off your e-cigarette, which is funny because that's a great segue to go into the B news. No, I love vagina and boobs and women. But I'm
dude
going
butt.
To skip over a dude butt. I'm going to go skip over a couple to go right into because you're puffing on an e-cigarette now. What's his face? Let me find it because it's deep into my new notes. Matt Sydal, also, you know, for you E fans out
Evan
there,
Bourne.
Evan Bourne was arrested in Japan at the end of September for a possession of like liquid marijuana. It was like an e-cigarette thing, but it's pretty much
it's called hash oil.
But his wrestling career is pretty much over in Japan because they hold that like insanely that's like a huge strict law.
Yeah, you don't
against
do drugs.
Them.
And since we're talking about Japan, I would I'd like to congratulate 2CW talent Jay Freddy. He's actually
nice.
Over there now working for Wrestle One. He's actually
really?
Literally in Japan. I'm not sure what the time difference is, but I remember seeing on Facebook before I got here that he was about to get into the match and
that's awesome.
Wrestle one of the best cruiserweights that Wrestle One
we need
has
to get
to
him on. We need to get him on in the air for a little interview.
I have a feeling he's not coming back.
Yeah, but no, for an interview. We don't have to be in person, but we can talk about it over there.
I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to talk
and
to this
he'll
kid
get
at
up.
His time.
He'll get up. It's all promotion. They have to get up. You know how many listeners we have? It's
no,
like
Freddie's
45.
A good dude. Freddie's a good dude.
So anyway, so that sucks for, you know, Cinda to not, I mean, Japan's pretty much done. So do you see him like maybe doing the NXT with where they're going after?
No. Dude, he works in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, but I mean, at some
that's
point.
That's the best he's going to do. He might do some PWG, but he got released from WWE because he violated the wellness policy 3 times after.
Oh, really?
All that stuff with his ankle, yeah.
Was it because of weed or because of
pretty
other
sure.
Stuff?
The first time, I remember this distinctly because Ron Killings didn't get busted for it, but spoke out on it. The first offense Sydal had was the synthetic marijuana that you can order in the back of High Times magazine.
The one that where everybody's like jumping off a booth. Here's the thing, where our country is now with marijuana, it surprises me that, you know, the physical pain that these wrestlers have to go through, that it is still an illegal substance to the point where you can get suspended for 30 to 60 days. Like, it did, that to me just blows me away. Like, I can understand cocaine. I can understand steroids. Even Adderall, to a point, I'm just like, really? If you have a doctor's reason for it. But for whatever reason, marijuana is still like, and I don't even smoke it, but I'm all about like everybody. And no, not right. I'm all about everybody being able to do it. So let's go right into This Week in Wrestling, which is also AKA the BS News. We're not going to break down SmackDown Raw. You guys have already freaking seen that crap. What were your thoughts with AJ Styles? Not only verse James Ellsworth on SmackDown, but this.
You know I hate that kid. It's
the title next week on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan announced on Talking Smack with James Ellsworth. You hate James Ellsworth?
Yeah.
You literally are the biggest heel in the fan and the IWC right now out there. Like, there is, like, I love that dude. I'll watch him do anything.
I bet you that dude can't put a pillow in a pillowcase.
Dixon has no idea what I'm bringing up topic wise. Literally, that came off the top of his dome. He has no idea. Anyway,
here's for those of you that don't get it, it's because he doesn't have a chin.
Thank you. They have 5 weeks before their next pay per view. They have to do something. Cena's gone. So I thought the execution of it was good. I just wish that Ellsworth's personality could have come out a little more. But the crowd loves him, man. And it's something that's different.
You know what ruined that segment for me? Was Dean Ambrose once again overacting, overdoing 100%. It, being the cheesy, campy piece of shit that he is.
100%. When my favorite part of Ambrose in that entire match was when they announced that those two would face each other. And he goes, I'd actually like to see that. Yeah, that was actually cool. All right, so it should be interesting to see on SmackDown. Obviously, AJ's going to win, but I love how they're giving Ellsworth this push because the crowd loves him. The other thing that was announced on SmackDown was Challenges Raw. SmackDown Challenges Raw to 3 matches at Survivor Series, kind of old school style, where it's men versus men, women versus women, tag teams versus tag teams. Are you excited about that?
Actually, yeah, it'll be good to go back to the original gimmick style of Survivor Series.
I'm digging that.
Yeah,
I'm digging that.
But I'm wondering what the rest of the card's going to be, because they said the 5 best men.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. You got to defend the titles.
Yeah,
the
AJ titles will be and KO. Well, I'm telling you, I told you this a couple weeks ago. It's going to be KO versus Jericho for the title in Toronto. You heard it here, folks. Fancy J, Jericho versus KO. Luke Harper returns. Luke Harper is a friend of the podcast and also a friend of yours, Mr. Dixon. So were you excited to see not only his debut, but what show he showed up on and then the storyline along that?
Who?
Luke Harper.
He was supposed to debut on Raw and like get his own gimmick and all this stuff. And then stupid Eric Rowan tore his rotator cuff and Bray needed a second. So once again, Brody Lee gets screwed.
That's really what the case was. He was supposed to be on Raw with his own character, and he had to come in to make up for Eric.
Yeah.
So do you think they...
They'll still go to it at some point.
But he has
made
that Wyatt staple that much more and believable and forceful. Like, I think Luke Harper's awesome. I like Luke Harper, and I've never met a guy. I've talked to the guy. I know he listens to the show. Well, I know that he has heard the show, and you're friends with him. I like Luke Harper than Bray Wyatt. I think Luke Harper brings more to the table than Bray Wyatt does.
Here's what you need to do.
That's the truth. That's my hot take of the week. Luke Harper better than Bray Wyatt. Boom, put it on the board.
Go to YouTube, type in Brody Lee versus
Claudio
Castagnoli.
Brody Lee versus who?
Claudio Castagnoli. We're talking about Cesaro versus Luke Harper. In their pre-WWE days, they had so many amazing matches for the size of the dudes they were. They did Best of 7, surprise, surprise. I wonder where they got that idea from.
Yeah, right?
In the these days. But yeah, it was those two were remarkable.
That's awesome. I did not know that. I'm going to do that. Real quick, Curt Hawkins.
Who cares?
Right? Why is he not on SmackDown, though? I mean, you're booking. Like, you just think that they don't think his character's ready? I mean, he was on the pay-per-view, but then he didn't come on SmackDown at all.
Who knows? It's the same thing, dude. Like, where's Nia Jax?
Yeah, that's true. Let's
90 seconds. Do your points.
90 seconds?
90 seconds. I gotta get to work.
Dude, come on, man. All right, before we do this, TNA Del Rio, give me your hot takes on that. Del Rio, like, is it drug dealers, man, drugs, all this stuff? I mean, the stabbing wasn't really, like, legitimately what happened was. multiple suspensions. The way that they were, the couple were on TMZ. Paige gets popped, and she says it's for painkillers, but it's actually for a legal substance. What in the blue moon is going on with those two?
I haven't followed it at all. You know why?
Because it's like...
Don't care.
It's like some TMZ stuff. I heard, yeah, Del Rio was like just toxic, and that's the reason why he never got the push that we were always talking about. Why isn't he getting the push? It's sad to see Paige go down that
table. I think maybe we
dissect
that a little bit next week, yeah, once I get a chance to read up on what's actually going on.
All right, TNA. You up to date on that?
Not at all. I read some stuff this morning about how like they're filming a show at the Hardy Complex, and that,
yeah,
Billy Corgan's suing them, and that, yeah, Fight Network put the money up for the last.
So we'll get into the TNA thing next week. I have everything right here. I'll let Dixon get a little up to date on it. Goldberg Brock Survivor Series. Are you excited for that?
Not at all.
I'm excited in the standpoint that A, it's one of those like spectacle matches. B, that I think they're actually going to try this time because of how bad their previous match was booked or received.
Yeah.
And then Goldberg is supposedly booked for Raw after that, not only after Raw Survivor Series, but previously or after that. So
I hope it doesn't turn into an Ultimate Warrior scenario.
No, wait, where he dies?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't even think that's dark, man. Dana White said CM Punk will probably never fight in UFC again.
Don't care.
Hideo Itami injured.
Again.
Sucks. And I was so excited for that Ibushi tag team with them. It was him and Ibushi that were supposed to be the tag team, and now Perkins took his place, yeah, for it. NXT Toronto card, Nakamura versus Joe, which is going to be a badass. Mickey James makes her quote-unquote WWE re-debut. Who you like in that match versus Asuka?
Did Asuka? I get it right?
Asuka. God freaking damn it. I get
Asuka obviously is going over.
You think Mickey James stays? I think she stays.
Rumor has it she's going to be one of the trainers down there.
Oh, wow. Okay, Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic will be the finals. Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger. Anything that's freaking glorious, I'm down, yeah, for. Roderick Strong, you like him.
I do. Roddy's a good dude.
Yeah, he's in NXT. And Triple H made it like a big thing about it. Hey, if you get a phone call from this area code, you better pick it up. That's what he tweeted out. So that's pretty cool that he's back in the game. Ric Flair talked about how Charlotte was going to do moves at the Hell in a Cell match that we've never seen before. Are you excited to see the first ever women's Hell in a Cell match?
I'd rather watch UltimateSurrender.com.
Oh, my God. Well, geez, I'm excited
You
for
know
it.
What? If they applied the rules of UltimateSurrender.com to WWE, I would watch that shit every week. And on that note...
Follow us on Twitter at B-Show Wrestling. You can find us on Facebook, like our page. You know, listen, subscribe, like... Download our podcast. Get it up there. Give me some points. Whether it's Hot Tag Designs, my boy Jock, Mookie, like all these guys that follow us on Twitter that actually interact with us or via Facebook. We appreciate it. We love it. And so do it. Subscribe, download, rate, all that good stuff.
UltimateSurrender.com.
Or Strumbella's Hope album. You can actually listen to Strumbellas while you watch UltimateSurrender.com.
No, you got to hear the grunting noises, dude. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Later.